¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
Hello and welcome to a brand spanking new episode of Let's Talk About. Now, today on this episode, we've got a bit of a surprise because not only got me, Elliot, as your host, but also have a very special co-host, and that is my friend Sebastian. Say hello, Sebastian.
Oh, hello. What a nice surprise for me and the listeners.
I know. It's so nice to have you with us today. And we might want to make a formal apology. We've not been very good on the old uploading as of recently. There's been lots of things going on behind the scenes between work and people wedlocking and illnesses and bunches of other excuses that I can't quite think of at the moment. But alas, we are back, and you might be thinking, wow, are we back on track? Are we going to be doing this weekly? Well, probably not, but we'll try our best, and that's the main thing. Now, all I can say is today is a very special episode, not only because we have that special guest, but also because we're talking about a film that me and Seb have been trying to avoid for so long, and that is Wish.
I wondered where you're going with that. Yeah, that is true. We have avoided this like the plague.
But alas, the spinner told us to watch it. Because normally what happens is, if it's a brand new Disney movie come out, we just watch it straight away.
Yeah.
We don't even put it on the spinner. But with this one, we were so downhearted just from the reviews. We thought, no, let's put it on the spinner. Maybe it'll never come up.
Hopefully.
Maybe we'll disband before we even get to it. But alas, that wasn't the case.
No, I was just going to say that, yeah, this is a film that I don't remember seeing much in terms of advertisements for it. But I guess you could say that about quite a lot of their recent films. And apparently this was supposed to be like, they're celebrating 100 years of Disney. So what an absolute, like, damp squib this was in terms of hitting, you know, anything, really. I'd love to know if people have actually seen this one. So I think that'll be my next poll, which I'll put up after we record this, I think. But, yeah, the fact that we weren't really kind of excited for it isn't a good sign. But we watched it anyway. That's the main thing.
We did. I watched this a few days back. And you watched this today?
Last night.
Last night? Wow. You've had a night to sleep on that. You don't normally do that.
No.
But that's amazing. That's amazing to see what your thoughts are on this. And it's interesting because what I like about us is, and not, when I say us, I don't just mean us two. I just mean people who watch Disney, is we complain when they release new ideas because they're always rubbish. But then we also complain when they keep redoing the same things that have been done before. So we, in a way, you might say we're a little bit toxic.
No.
That, or we know our rights.
Yeah, we're like Star Wars fans. We know everything else is bad, and we know everything.
It's true. It's true. But what we should probably talk about is, with no spoilers, what we think of the movie. So I expected to go into this and not like it at all. Mm. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I not that I was putting this off, but if I could think of anything else to do, that's what I was doing. We did sit down to watch it, begrudgingly. But yeah, this is not one that I would have chosen. I don't even know if this came out of the cinema, if I'm honest. I definitely wouldn't have gone to see it. And it's quite interesting. Yeah, I wouldn't have chosen to put this on, I think, if it wasn't for this podcast. But we have said that about some other films on here that have turned out to have actually been really good ones. Should we talk about the story and then our thoughts, or did you want to give our opinions first?
No, I think giving listeners an idea of a story would be nice.
Yeah.
Did you want the honour?
Oh, I'll see what I can remember.
Okay.
So
it was yesterday, after all.
It was very long time ago. I'm trying to remember. Oh, yeah. So they opened up with the book kind of thing, just like out of Shrek, and also like from the other Disney films, but mainly Shrek is how I remember it.
Okay.
And the story is some guy really likes wishes, becomes a bit of a magic geezer himself. He then goes to this island with his wife, I'm assuming, and makes like a really nice kind of castle, nice island. And the whole setup for the film is that he's actually mastered quite a bit of magic and can do things where like people can make wishes and he'll like kind of protect it for them. And they forget what the wishes are, which I find is interesting. And I think like every year, when he receives new wishes from people, he then grants a wish as well, which is a bit like a lottery kind of thing. And that's the setup. We're introduced to this character, Asher, who's going for like a job interview to be the apprentice to the sorcerer, which is a possible nod to the Sorcerer's Apprentice with Mickey Mouse.
Nah.
And then we see, you know, obviously through the lens of this character and her friends, what happens in this world. Is it all that it seems to be? Who knows? That's pretty much the story. Yeah.
Very good. You don't need to see it now. You've heard it all here, folks.
Yep.
So, yeah. So, I thought it was an interesting concept. At least it was kind of different. Don't get me wrong. There's bits throughout the movies where I'm just like, oh, that's a nod to that, and oh, that's a nod to that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was original because there has been a lot of, when it comes to Disney, rehashing the same thing. We had it like the Disney Expo recently, and it was like, oh, we've now booked in a Frozen 3. They've now booked in a Big Hero 6 2 one. I don't know if I made that up, but they booked in a lot of things. A Toy Story 5.
Yeah.
So the real question is, we didn't want to watch it. It got very badly reviewed. We watched it. What did you think of it?
What did I think of it? The thing that stood out immediately to me was the art style.
Mm.
And I was struggling for the first part of the film. And I was like, oh, it looks really weird. And then in my head, I remember hearing something about this because, like, for those who don't know, effectively, you know, Disney did 2D animation for decades, and then they did like 3D animation, stuff like Tangled, Frozen, Moana, all that stuff. That looks really good. If you think about the latest stuff like, I guess Elemental, but you know, they're not really people. But yeah, think of like Moana and, you know, Encanto, how gorgeous those films are. So I was expecting that, again, from like the pictures as well. And then it almost looked like cell shading. So I think it was maybe like a kind of a nod to both 3D animation and the 2D animation, because a lot of the backgrounds were like, looked like 2D hand drawn, whereas the characters were 3D, but kind of not. And it, for the start, it was really jarring. And I was like, I don't like this. I actually got into it though, and I think it really works for the rest of the film. I just don't think I was used to it. So I don't know if that would turn some people off, but that was the thing that stood out immediately to me. I don't know if you had the same kind of reaction.
Well, that was my first note, actually, was not a fan of the animation.
Mm.
Now, but again, like you, I think you just kind of like get used to it. Because I wrote that within the first 5 minutes.
Interesting.
It all just confused me quite a bit. But I never at any point reviewed that note. So I think, again, by the end, you just got so sucked into like the story that the animation didn't really play a part in it anymore.
Yeah.
You're just like, this is the world. I suppose it's kind of like, if you watch like a Simpsons episode
mm.
now, but then like watch like an older one,
yeah,
the thing that stands out to you most is, oh, the animation is so different.
Yeah.
But then, well, when you get 10 minutes in, you're just, you're in it. You've got it. Yeah. So yeah, I'm not a fan of it, but I think what I should say is it was different, and it just took me a little while just to settle in. But then I did.
Yeah.
So it's all good.
Okay.
Any other thoughts? Like, what did you think? Did you enjoy the movie? This is the big $100 question. Did you enjoy, Sebastian, did you enjoy
God, Wish? I'm really giving a politician answer here, aren't I? I'm just not answering the question.
Yeah. I wish you would answer the question.
Oh, well, it's funny.
I feel like you don't want to admit it.
It's funny you mentioned that. So I think my honest opinion was this film was okay. I thought it was going to be bland or a bit boring. And then there was lots of singing, and I was like, oh, okay, I don't know where this is going. And I was kind of paying attention, at least at the start, but then after that I was like locked in, which I think is a good sign. I thought actually the characters were quite fun. A few in particular, which I guess we'll talk about. There was a scene which you mentioned where your wife said this was like the best thing she's ever seen. And I thought, okay, I think I figured out what the scene was. So I'm looking forward to talking about that. I thought that, I turned to my wife at one point and said, who is the main character? Like, is she just some rando in the city? Because like, with Encanto, with Mirabel singing, she's in the family. So she knows all about it and stuff like that. And you're introduced to like Rapunzel and Tangled and stuff. So I was like, why is this random girl singing about this island? What is going on? But after that, I kind of got into the rhythm. I liked the stuff with the king and with her mates and the goat. And I quite liked the visual style, particularly for him doing all his hocus pocus stuff. Some of the character motivations were interesting and not like completely ridiculous either. I was half expecting like, you know, I'm going to do this for no real particular motivation at all. And I think actually it did kind of make sense. And it was quite funny. I think I'm trying to remember anything like particularly funny, but there's lots of references to things, which I think we'll probably talk about later. Mm. So overall, I thought actually this was okay. This isn't, as I said, it's nothing to write home about, I don't think, compared to a lot of the other films we've talked about. But this isn't the disaster that I thought it might be.
Yeah. I quite liked this movie. This movie held my attention the entire way through.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I thought it was an interesting story. I didn't always know where it was going to go. You could kind of like take a guess.
Mm.
But you know, like you get some movies like, oh, well, you know, they're all going to take the chicken up to space and see if they can find out what these aliens are doing. You know, you kind of guess that. But I thought it was good. I thought the music, some of the songs were really good. There was none of the songs stood out to me as going to be like, oh, this is going to be a breakthrough song.
Yes.
But to be honest, I don't think you get that a lot with Disney musicals anyway. I don't think it's often you find a song you think, oh, wow, that's so incredible. I need to listen to that straight away. For me anyway, it seems to come in like on the second and third watch.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. Even the big ones like, you know, Hercules and stuff like that. I think obviously like Beauty and the Beast at the time was a massive hit. It's like a few years after maybe that they become big. But Phil, Let It Go was big at the time, wasn't it? And then like How Far I'll Go and Moana. Whereas I think, yeah, for us, you go back to it a couple of times, then you realise the ones you like and the ones you don't really listen to often.
Yeah. I think what I liked about it is, even though it was one of the new Disney movies, is it wasn't 2 hours.
Yes,
it was an hour 40. So we like that. We like that. But yeah, I thought the music was good. There was some, especially like the second song in particular. For me, it kind of like felt like the lyrics weren't really matching what was happening, but that could also just been me being dumb.
Is that the duet?
I can't remember. But we'll talk about it more in spoilers, because I'll give you like the context as well.
Yeah.
But some of the characters were great. Again, talk about that in spoilers as well. And yeah, like you said, there's obviously, as a celebration of 100 years of Disney, there is so many links throughout the entire movie of different things going on. For me, the opening song is very Encanto-esque.
Yes.
And there's other bits as well. And also, even if you decide, if you're listening to this and you haven't seen the movie and you're stubborn like us and refuse to watch it, but you're a big fan of Disney, I would suggest watch the credits. Because the credits are phenomenal if you're a Disney fan. Again, we'll talk about more about into spoilers, but overall, I thought it was a good movie. I said to you, because I saw you yesterday, I said I only watched a film, like, I can't remember when I watched it, Wednesday or Thursday, which to the listeners means nothing. It's currently Sunday. But, you know, I could quite happily watch it again because it is new, because it is fresh. It's not just some rehashed thing. I could quite happily watch it again. It's relatively short. It's entertaining enough. And who knows, maybe I'll love the songs even more.
Maybe.
But, yeah, to highlight what you said, not utter garbage, not brilliant, but it's a good Disney film, which I think feels like a Disney movie.
Yes.
So I'm happy with it.
Yeah, a very glowing review from us there. I felt with the songs, at least for some of them, I felt like they're just singing for the sake of singing. And like, oh, this is like, you know, classic Disney, you know, where all the characters sing. Whereas I felt like in some of the other films, it felt more natural, even though in real life, nobody just starts singing. But there were some in this where I thought, actually, no, that makes sense. And there was one particular song that I thought was really, you know, gives you kind of a bit of chills. But that is the story and our review. So thank you for listening. No, I guess we should dive into spoilers.
Well, as a quick thing before then, because this isn't a spoiler.
Oh.
I think Chris Pine did very well as Magnifico.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that.
I enjoyed that.
So yeah. I didn't realise that he was doing the
Valentino
voice.
Did you not?
No, not until partway through the film. And then I was... Because then you're listening to it and it's like, oh yeah, it is. But he's doing... Well, I realised he'd done a few films as well. He did like the Peter Parker of Miles' universe and Into the Spider-Verse, which... he was obviously quite good in that. I thought, he does a really good cadence to that as well. Who was Alan Tudyk in this?
He was Valentino. The donkey.
The donkey. Oh, yes. Very cool. Yes.
Yeah. Very good.
Nice.
But should we go into spoilers?
Yeah. Let's dive in. It's a half a thumb up for me.
Is that how that works?
Yeah.
So it kind of like that. A 6 in British Sign Language.
Yeah.
So one thing I can talk about is it didn't go the way I expected when it comes to the villain. So for those who are still listening, because they're crazy and we haven't seen it, the whole thing is this guy has been brought up as this guy, this saviour, who is he's not taking anyone. It's just it's a place that people can go to. As long as they respect him as the leader. And then, like you said, he will protect them all with his sorcery. And not only that, he'll do like that lottery. Where I think it's like once a month, he'll grant wish. And then on your birthday, when you turn 18, you get to tell them what your wish is. The weird thing, and I can't remember if you said it in your summary, is that once you tell them the wish, him the wish, it then gets taken out of you. You forget it completely. You don't know what the wish is. Which I thought was interesting. But I suppose at the start of the movie, I kind of understood it. Because it's like, okay, well, you haven't got that sort of like that driving force that's making you sad or anything. You just know you've got that hope that this one thing you really want might come true.
Yeah.
And then he just seemed to sort of like turn evil just all of a sudden very quickly.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say he's an evil person. And I... genuinely expected this to be one of those endings where you feel sorry for the villain.
I thought that's what they were setting up. And it's quite interesting with the one of the beasts of trivia. I'm trying to see where it is. It's something about like this is one of the, what was it they called, like the straightforward villain that we've not had since Mother Gothel. I'm trying to see where that trivia was. Where it's like, because ever since then we've had like twist villains, we've had redeemed villains, we've had sympathetic villains, and I thought it was going to be like, you know, the first straightforward villain since Mother Gothel, or there have been films about a villain at all, like Encanto, and people have been kind of yearning for a straight up villain again. But I thought with this one it was going to be, I don't know, something like he realizes the error of his ways and gives the wishes back, or there's something different. But it looked at least that it was going to be him maybe being because he turns to dark magic, doesn't he? Basically, he turns to the forbidden magic because he feels threatened, and then you see this slow descent. But again, it's like Anakin Skywalker, where he goes from okay to evil very quickly and starts being like Emperor Palpatine for no real reason. But I don't know, that's just what I got from it.
Yeah, because for me, I until you went to that book, you know, I don't know if this is controversial or not, because no one's talking about this movie apart from us. I don't feel like he's a bad guy. Obviously, the reason he's gone this in the first place, because I can't remember if it's a place he grew up or whatever got destroyed, so he wanted to go somewhere where he could protect people. You know, he knew that wishes were a powerful thing. He didn't force anyone. It's literally, if you come to this island, you can come here. I will protect you. And if you want to give me your wish, you know that you're not going to have it anymore, and I will have it. And you know there's a chance you'll get it, but a chance you won't. It would seem very open. Like, it was his house.
Yeah, it's not like he's forced people, or he's, like, you know, enslaving. And, you know, as you said, I think he lost his parents or something, and
right,
from greedy people. And I think that's portrayed quite interestingly in the conversation he has with Asha about her grandfather's wish. It's like, he wishes to inspire a generation. But he goes, well, that's too vague. Like, what does that mean? Because we, you know, our inference from that is, oh, he wants to inspire them to do great things, or to play music, or to do this, or to do that. But he goes, what, to leave a revolution, to burn down Rosas, all these? And it reminded me of Wonder Woman 1984, of all things, with all the wishes and stuff, and how everyone's just really greedy, and like, everyone's like dying, or like, you know, all these crazy things happening. And it's like, he does have a point there, I think, because if everyone's wishing for all these things, you can't fulfill them all, because some of them are going to contradict each other. Some of them could be quite dangerous. So he does have a valid point, but then it goes to him saying, well, I'm the only one that knows what's right, which is the descent to him obviously becoming evil. But I also think that whilst he says, you know, you can live here, you can do all these things, is being a bit deceptive with that. Because it's, you know, give me your wish, but some of them I'll never actually grant them, and you'll forget it. And then the other thing to that is that because they don't remember their wish, they have no drive in their life, so they're almost trapped, and then they become dependent on him. So it's actually quite an abusive relationship, I think, in that sense, because he is making them dependent on him. But I don't know if he sees it that way.
Yeah, which is why I expected, because like I said, all of that, it was a few things gone a bit of a weird way. But it seemed to come from a good place.
Mm.
So, yeah, I honestly expected it to be, oh, he was going to be redeemed. But anyway, that didn't happen.
No.
But what I did like is, because then obviously the main character, whose name I don't know. Asha. I don't care for her. Sure. she was just like, oh, I'm upset with you. Oh. And then she wishes upon a star.
Yes.
Which is a great callback. Oh. So she wished upon a star. And then you see the star, which reminded me much of Super Mario. But anyway.
Yeah, it was the thing from Mario Galaxy.
Yeah. And that was like the cutest thing.
Yeah.
In the world. And it did some phenomenal things. it made animals talk.
That was fun.
It made animals dance. the best scene, I think, was, well, the bit where it turned my wife completely was, she was trying to hide the star from people because magic is forbidden.
Yes.
So she chucked it in with some chickens.
Yes.
And she went off and she was trying to like stop people from going in and all this. Anyway, you could hear all this crazy stuff going in the back, and there's already a talking donkey or something. And no, it's not a donkey. What is it?
Is it a goat? I think it's a
goat. That's it.
Yeah.
A talking goat is in there. And then they go in. It's just, he's organized like this musical with like all these chickens, and they're singing and they're dancing and there's eggs being flown around, and it's just like,
he's got the conductor stick as well. He's like conducting the orchestra.
Yeah. Oh, and it's just, yeah, I've never known, like, that took me out of the real world.
Yeah.
Completely. Any problems I had was just gone. For a glimpse of a moment, I was just in the room with the chickens. And I felt good about that. I also got another note saying that I loved the PJs. Now, I cannot remember what this was in reference to, but at some point in the movie, there's PJs, and I loved them.
PJs?
Apparently so.
Okay.
Who knows? But yeah, like, and throughout, just like, amount of Disneyland. Obviously, the whole reason we started this podcast was because of our love for Disney. Me wanting to revisit it all. You wanting to experience quite a lot of Disney movies you haven't seen. So I think that's what this movie did great, was constant links to different things. The Encanto-esque song at the start. There was other things as well. There was like a nod to... there was nods throughout. I'll be honest, I can't remember any of them now in the main storyline. I don't know if you can.
Yeah, so I picked up on a few bits. I've also got the trivia from IMDb. So I don't know if you want to take a slight detour. We can talk about like
Let's do it.
The things. So one of the things that I didn't pick up on is Asha's friends. And I did remember thinking, oh, she's got quite a few supporting characters, because there are seven of them. They're modelled after the seven dwarfs. So... Right. Yeah, so Dahlia is Doc because she wears glasses, basically. Gabo is grumpy.
Nice.
Hal is happy. Simon is sleepy. He's the one who ends up betraying them, so that's fun. Safi is sneezy. Dario is dopey. And Bazima is bashful. And Gabo even describes himself as grumpy at some point. So I didn't pick up on that, but that kind of makes sense.
That's cool.
One of the things I mentioned, it says here, one of the more subtle nods is in the first act, Asha aspires to be the apprentice to... you know, the king who's a sorcerer. So, you know, he's the sorcerer's apprentice. So there's a bear at one point, which is fun. The bear's called John. Can you guess what that's a reference to?
Yeah. Big John.
Yeah.
Whatever his name is.
My favourite character.
Little John.
Big, yeah. I don't think this really counts, but Asha's grandfather's turning 100, and, you know, it's the 100th anniversary of the thing. One of the things I did notice, you know, he grants the wish to the woman who wants to be a dressmaker. Mm-hmm. So that dress that appears in the wish, that's the Sleeping Beauty's dress. Which, yeah, that looks quite cool.
Little John also spoke to someone as well, and he was named after something.
Doesn't he say Bambi? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that's it. Bambi, the thing. Yeah,
yeah, because the deer's like, thanks for not eating me. And he goes, yeah, anytime. there's a rabbit in the forest at one point after Asha makes her wish. This is a reference to Thumper from Bambi, including the iconic tapping of his right foot. We said about the books opening, similar to Snow White, Cinderella, and Sleeping Beauty. Mm-hmm. There's one thing I didn't notice on Magnifico's bench. I think this is when he's making his staff. There's an apple that's dripping with poison, just like the one in Snow White, which is quite cool, which is fun. There's a hidden Mickey fireworks towards the end.
Yeah, I saw
makes,
that.
Yeah, makes the Mickey eyes. Apparently, I think I picked up on this at the time. There's an Easter egg where Magnifico talks about true love, and he says about poor, unfortunate souls.
Oh, right.
Which is a callback to Little Mermaid.
I didn't hear that one. Yeah.
I noticed one at the end where he says about the woman who, I think her name is Wendy, and she wants to fly. And so she refers her to Peter, who's learning to like make an aeroplane. So, oh, that's good. That's very clever. I can't see... many more, but yeah, so there's quite a few. One of the things I picked up on, I think they mentioned it here as well, is that with Magnifico's magic, it's that kind of almost like turquoise tealy color, but then as he gets born more evil, and then when he absorbs the star, it becomes that more distinct green color that is very synonymous with the classic villains like Ursula and Scar and someone else. I can't think of one. The one from Princess and the Frog.
And
Maleficent, and it was quite reminiscent of that with when he's kind of binding all the people and it looks like the thorns and stuff from Sleeping Beauty. I thought that was quite quite a bit of a callback as well.
So it was like really cool, and then we mentioned it earlier about like the credits. So did you go to all ways to the end of the credits?
I watched some of the credits and then I turned it off.
Oh, okay. So you would have missed a bit of the end then. So, spoiler alert for you. But yeah, so it basically went through like drawings of like most of the Disney classics. So you had like Snow White, then you had Pinocchio, then you had Mickey Mouse, and it went through all of them. It missed a few. It did include Ichabod though.
Really?
Which I quite liked. You had Ichabod there. And it went through all of them right through to the end. Then, so that was really cool. Again, a nice little nod to like most of the Disney movies. Mm. And then not only that, it's then right at the end, it then went to the granddad, who's now got his guitar, and he's playing a song on the beach. And he's playing an instrumental acoustic guitar version of When You Wish Upon a Star.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, because he's playing the guitar at the end of the film, isn't he? Because he's, you know, wants to inspire the new generation. Oh, that's cool then. Because, yeah, it mentions here that there's one of them that was missed out, which is quite interesting. The Rescuers from 1977. And I think this is an interesting one to not include, because although its success led Disney to carry on with and to not shut down its animation division, having wrongly decreed that the medium was no longer of interest to critics and audiences, the classic film The Rescuers was excluded entirely from the ending credits long sequence of nods to nearly all canonical Walt Disney animation films.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Which is, yeah, especially seeing it's like the only one before the noughties that had a sequel.
Yeah, that is so bizarre.
Yeah, because what was the next one to have a sequel? Was it Frozen?
Yeah.
I think it was, wasn't it? No, Wreck-It Ralph.
Wreck-It Ralph, yeah.
Yeah. But even then, both of those, I'm saying before the noughties, they were like, you know, not even a decade ago, I'm sure. Yeah, because Frozen was only like a decade ago. But, yeah, so that is weird. So, what I would say is with this film, I think story-wise, it was a Disney movie. Don't get me wrong; it seems a little bit like a Disney on Wish.
Nice.
It wasn't as great as others. Some parts seem to move really like quickly, and I'm up for a quick movie, but it did seem to like lead on to like next bits. Like, oh, that progressed quite quickly.
Yeah.
But overall, it felt like a Disney movie. It was a good movie. It wasn't bad. And I think the nods it makes, it's a film to celebrate 100 years of Disney. And I think it does just that. Not just in the credits, not just in the post-credit scene, but throughout the entire movie. So this movie gets a kind of bent thumbs up from me.
Yeah. Oh, good. So more than half a thumb.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's... It's quite a good theme, I think. If you're going to do a film that's like a, you know, a nod to everything, talking about wishes, you know, When You Wish Upon a Star is iconic. They've played it ever since. You've got a lot of different references in there. There's even a reference to Zootopia, because the goat says he dreams about a place where all the mammals can live and wear clothes. Oh, he's obviously talking about
that. I saw that, yeah.
So it's like, yeah, it kind of does what it set out to do. Does it do it as well as it could? I don't know, if you made it longer, would you be able to flesh out the villain more? Because I think when he talked about how ungrateful the people are, I thought, okay, that could be your vehicle to show his like disappointment of the people. And I guess, I don't know, maybe if they had more time to write it differently, you could have a more realistic villain as opposed to someone just turns evil. So it'd be interesting, like with more films that come out from Disney, are they going to try and have another straight-up villain, but at least with some interesting motivations and not just a sympathetic villain or, you know, just not even a villain at all? Because people have been longing for it to return. So I'll be interested to see what they learn from this. If they go, oh, no, maybe we need to go back to what we were doing before. And interestingly, if what they do with the animation, do they continue with what they did with this one? Or are they going to go back to the... Well, they got Moana 2 coming out. That looks like the original Moana. So I guess they're probably going to go back to that style.
Yeah, maybe. But we'll see what happens. Right, any other thoughts on this movie?
No, I thought the voice acting was pretty solid across the board.
No, I thought...
Well, I always have to talk about the voice acting. But yeah, I think they're all pretty good. The singing was fairly impressive. And beyond that, yeah, it's competent film. Very shiny.
I agree. Nice and shiny. Well, I think we've come to a part we've all been waiting for. It's time to spin that wheel and see what it is we're going to be watching next time.
Oh, yes.
What could it be? What could it be? The wheel still looks massive, but it is slowly whittling down. And I can tell you right now, it's going to be an older movie.
Ooh.
It's going to be a movie I have seen once. Ooh. And I thought it was okay. And I don't... I think you've seen this. We are going to watch Basil, the Great Mouse Detective.
Oh, I watched this as a kid.
Oh, there you go. So you must be very excited.
I am. I don't remember anything about it, so it should be fun.
Yeah. Is this one with Ratigan?
Ratigan? Is that... Oh, Ratigan. Yes, I believe it is.
Oh, there we go. So we're going to see Ratigan. So if you want to hear our thoughts on that, stay tuned. Because at some point next week, the week after, who knows? 2 years from now, we're going to discuss it. And we're going to upload it. And there just may be a poll involved.
That's crazy.
But talking of polls, when's the last time you visited Poland? No, I'm joking. What I would like to know is... how can people tell us their thoughts on either our thoughts, on Wish, or on whatever they desire?
Well, it depends. If we want to hear their thoughts on our thoughts, they could rate our podcast on Spotify or whatever else they're doing. They could tell us directly via our DMs on Instagram at lta.podcast. They can vote on our polls and comment and leave suggestions for things as well, or they can send us a nicely worded email at letstalkabout2022@hotmail.com.
Well, there you go. You've heard it here first, folks. So that's been our raving review. We look forward to talking about Basil the Great Mouse Detective at some point, but as always, we like to finish our podcasts on words of wisdom. So Seb, what have you got to tell us today?
Be careful what you wish for.
Because you don't want to make the chickens sing.
Are you impressed I actually came up with a tagline? Because I just looked at the IMDb page.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I won't include that in the episode then. Because I want to make it look like that you know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Bye.
Bye.